sleeping.
Yeah. We're live, y'all.
Yep.
We are live. All right, let me turn this off. What's up? What's up, everybody? This is MC Till. Welcome to the Boom Bap Chat. Like I said, I am MC Till.
And I am Profound, co-host of the most. I've been ghost. Now I'm back. Keeping it close. You know how we do, Till. What's happening, man?
I'm glad you're back, man. I'm glad you're back. Tonight, I'm representing Everybody's Records, as always. If you've never been to Everybody's Records, please come to Everybody's Records. It's a great spot here in Cincinnati. If you can't get here in the flesh, you can check them out at everybodysrecords.com. Bro, who you representing tonight, man?
Man, I want to represent my son's 13U football team that I just became the head coach of, the Fernley Vaqueros 13U. Yeah. So I'm repping the football today. I got a couple of hats on right now.
Well, man, I'm glad you're back with the co-host hat on. That's a good hat for you. Yeah.
You know it.
And shout out to Iomas Marad. Hasn't been here for a minute, but he's got his education thing going, and he's teaching a class tomorrow. So Professor Iomas in the classroom doing it up. So much love to Iomas. He has to wake up super early in the morning. So he's not going to be with us tonight, but much.
Can we call him doctor yet?
I mean, we can call him doctor anytime. I don't think it's official yet, but it's getting there.
It's close. Doctor Iomas.
So tonight, the Boom Bap Chat welcomes a new hip hop titan to the show. His output recently and forever, really, has been nothing short of excellent. He is able to present deep, layered content in a straightforward way. His music is both soulful and gritty and cuts through the saturation of music content these days. His music sticks out from the rest simply because it's better than most of the rest. Friends, please join me as we welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, the one and only Jamil Honesty.
Woo!
Yeah. Man, I feel important, man. That was dope, man.
You are salute. Important, Jamil. Honestly, you are, man.
Yes, sir.
Yes. No salute doubt. We're going to get into that important album. I mean, you've put out a lot of important albums, and most recently, you know, The God's Honest Truth, I think, is an important album that people need to hear. And we'll talk about that later. But you know, some MCs, you know, they just rapidly rapping, but you have depth to you. I see you more than, you know, an MC or a writer. And so I wanted to ask some questions kind of framed in like a book metaphor. So if there was a book written about your life, what could be a possible title, to that book?
Hate to say it, but the God's honest truth.
Hey, that's good.
Like, seriously, I mean, we talked about this offline too.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the reason why, and we're gonna get into it. That's the reason why that project is so near and dear, because it is a project where I kind of, you know, share a lot, you know what I'm saying, of my personal my journey. You know what I'm saying? In this physical realm. So yeah, I would say the God's honest truth. You know what I mean? Most definitely. Yeah. That would be a book.
Yeah.
So that would be the book title. That would definitely be a book title.
It's the book title. And thinking about the book, what would be like a few, one or two or three life-changing moments from your life that would definitely be in that book?
Oh man. Whew. All right. Well, let's see, from having children to actually almost losing my life in 2018, being shot, reconciling with my father, you know, in his last days, you know, working through that, you know, navigating through that and being at peace after he passed away. That was life changing for me. Cause I'm like, yo, if I can forgive, this man, you know, for whatever, you know, he didn't do or he did do, to me, who, why can't I configure somebody else? You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, you know, losing my grandmother, who was like one of my favorite people on the planet Earth, you know what I'm saying? Outside of my mom's, like, yeah. So it's it would be those moments, you know what I mean? And then I would say last year I had a show in Detroit, major breakthrough for me, because you know, it was something that I struggled with, coming up, just like being comfortable on stage. So it's like I had a major breakthrough there, where it was like, you know, it was like a moment of truth. You know, I kind of broke through whatever was holding me back in the prior years on stage. So now I can't get enough of being on stage, man. So yeah, that was another important moment for me. Detroit, shout out to Detroit. Shout out to Ty Ferris, man.
Yeah, he's dope.
Substance 810. Yeah, he had a show out there that I was out there, you know, with him and all of that. Yeah, it was very it was a major point in my artistic journey. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Profound, Iomos, myself, like when we were doing shows, you know, we pride ourselves on taking our shows very seriously and having a really good set and connecting with the audience and being really sharp. So that's really important to us. So I'm curious to know, you know, about that breakthrough on stage. What was it like? What was that breakthrough like? Was it certain people around? Was it the vibe? Was it like practice? You know, like what was it that created that breakthrough for you, you think?
Real quick, I got to shout out my man DJ Logic, my DJ, man, that was actually there when that moment happened. I feel like, and I take my shows very seriously. I almost obsess over it, and to a point, you know, where it's like I'm every chance I get, I'm just, you know, going over sets that I still go over my set, you know, even with me not having any shows or whatever, you know. Yeah. But for me, it was just having that anxiety. Like, it didn't matter how much I would practice. It was just like I would freeze up sometimes when I get on stage. You know what I'm saying? So at that moment, it was kind of like, and a shout out to my man Ty Ferris, man. He had said something to me, or not to me, but he had said something that kind of it was almost like a challenge. Not like he was challenging me, but it was kind of like I took it like, yo, I can't come out here and screw up. I gotta, you know what I mean? I got something to prove, you know what I mean? So that anxiety kind of turned into not anger, but more aggression. Like, yo, I'm here. We're going to do this shit. You know what I mean? And I had to thank Ty Ferris, man. Like, yo, I'm glad you, you said that, man. And it was like, yo, you know, I can't thank him enough, man, because that really helped me just not just in the music sense, but like just in life period, man. Like, yo, gotta get to it, you know what I mean? So yeah, it was awesome, man. I you know, I took all that anxiety, and you know, you're gonna get the butterflies, man, but you just gotta overcome that. You gotta push through that. You know what I mean? Like, yo, because the thing is, like, it wouldn't matter how much I would practice. I would just get on stage and it would be a voice like, yo, you're going to fuck up. And then I would fuck up. Can we curse?
Yeah, you can curse.
Okay, yeah. Like, yo, you about to fuck up. And then I'd be like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just pushed through that. And it's, you know, made myself just like, hey, this is me. I left it all on stage, man. And I can't get enough of the stage now, man. I really can't. Like, I want to get back on there, man. Me and L Logic, we talk about it all the time. Me and him get together and we still go through our set. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm ready, man. So like anybody that will have me, man, holler at me. I'm trying to get on the stage, man, and rip it. But yeah, and I think it's really important as an MC to, it's cool to do the studio albums and all of that. But when it's time, you know, an MC is someone that masters the ceremony. So if you can't master the ceremony, you can't call yourself an MC. So, you know, watching cats like Ill Conscious, Jay Royale, rip the stage, man. These are my peers, like,
yeah,
you know, crazy, you know. And so it's like, you know, Snook the Crook, like, yo, we, you know, as an MC, you gotta rock the crowd. And that's
yeah.
It's important. It's important to not only be able to do these songs, but you gotta get up there and you gotta rock the crowd. So,
yeah. Yeah, I love the name Master of Ceremony, because it's like it doesn't just happen overnight. You know, anything you're a master at takes time, takes learning, you know, obedience, you know, discipline, you know, all of that. So, yeah, that's dope. Rewinding a little bit, you mentioned your dad passing. My condolences to you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I know that's how my dad passed. Right before the pandemic started. How long ago was that?
2021.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's similar. You mentioned like finding peace with him. What was like the most challenging part of getting to that peace?
Well, you know, I was part of the statistic, if you will. You know, black man grew up without a father, so to speak, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, that happened. I grew up, I became better about that, to make a long story short. And later on in life, he reached out to me.
Mm.
He wanted to, you know, establish a relationship, you know. And I was like, kind of like standoffish. I'm like, you know, I was bitter, like, you know. And then, I talked to one of my, you know, my kid's mother, and she was like, yo, you know, because he would be involved with my children and stuff like that. And he was like, yo, you gotta let that go. And this man is trying to reach out to you. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes. And just with me becoming a father and making my mistakes, I'm like, damn, yo, you know, she's right. Like, because I'm out here making all kind of mistakes and doing this and doing that. You know, I would want my children to forgive me, you know. So then I was like, you know, we had a conversation, me and my father, and he was like, you know, because every time I would talk to him, he'd be like, you know, bro, I feel bad about not being in your life, this, that, and the third. So this last conversation, one of the last conversations, I was like, bro, listen, you know, like, we're going to leave that in the past. The kids are crazy about you. I'm here. Let's just rebuild, you know, let it go. Like, you know, whatever happened in the past, I'm willing to just kind of leave that alone and rebuild, you know? So, yeah. And when I said that to him, he was starting to get sick at that point. When I said that to him, I could actually see him physically, like, feel like it was some relief when I told him that. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Thank God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when his time came when he was about to pass away, you know, I remember talking to him like, yo, you know, and he was kind of like comatose a little bit. And I was like, you know, you did good, man. You know, you made all your, you know, wrongs right, you know. And, you know, pretty much like, yo, you know, free to go, you know, and he kind of came out of it and was like, I love you. Kind of went back, you know what I mean? And the next day he passed away. But, yeah, I, you know, like I'm at peace with it though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I don't have no bitterness. I feel like if I didn't have those conversations with him, I'd still be bitter. you know, because it would be, you know what I mean? It wouldn't have, none of those things would have been addressed, and I would be bitter and I would be sad, like, damn, you know what I mean? I wish I had had that conversation, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not one to hold a grudge and none of that.
Yeah.
It was ill. Yeah. So shout out to, rest in peace, William Reddick.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I'm so glad, and thank you for sharing that. And and I'm really glad that you had the opportunity. I know someone that's near and dear to me, they lost their dad, but they didn't have a great relationship. And it's like, you would think in one way it might be easier if you don't like your dad, but it's harder.
Yeah.
Because the opportunity to make amends is gone forever.
Right, exactly. And you know? I always say, not always say, but the thing about forgiveness is it's not, people think it's for you, the person that's giving the forgiveness. No, it's not for you. They think it's for the other person.
Right.
But it's not for the other person. It's actually for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you have to forgive. You don't have to, and people get forgiveness and forgetfulness mixed up. You know what I mean? You don't have to forget what that person did.
Right.
You have to forgive. You have to.
Right.
Because that's going to be on you. You know what I mean? It make you sick, stressed out. You know, you graying at 20. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I hear you.
Bald at 35. Like, not like, let it go, man.
Yeah.
Let it go. You could change your relationship with that person. You know what I mean? Listen, somebody crash your car, you ain't got to let that person drive your car no more.
Right.
But
right.
You got to forgive that person.
Yes.
Got to.
And I always think about, like, you don't necessarily need to be the person that you know stays in that person's life.
Right.
You know, especially if they've done some terrible abuse, traumatizing stuff.
Right.
But you can forgive them, and you can want other people to show up in their life to help them. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But you can want other people to do it, you know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that the difference.
Yeah.
Between
and
you can forgive somebody and that person, it's their job to make you forget by their actions. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a good point.
Different levels to it. Yeah. But yeah, you know, we can talk all day.
deep show tonight with Jamil. Honestly, man. Profan, you came back on a deep show.
Hey, look, I ain't even get into my father. So yeah, that's why I'm like sitting here enjoying the whole thing. We all done lost our fathers. But you know, I think it's unique though, because although, you know, I was raised by my father, you know what I mean? And he was in my life.
Right.
You know, I had issues at certain points with decisions that he made. And
right.
You know what I mean? You know, my dad was married 3 times. So, you know, I wasn't raised by my mother. You know, I was raised by my stepmother, which her and I are super, super close. I was like 13 months old.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But, you know, just decisions like it's not cool that a 5-year-old know what cocaine is. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
But you know, you still do make amends, and I was there and watched my father take his last breath too. And I know my dad loved me, and I loved my father. It's one of those things where, like you said, you don't really appreciate it until you become a father yourself.
Right.
And I got 6, so.
I got 7.
You know, so, man, so you know what it is. So to have that empathy for your own father is, you know what I'm saying? At the same time, you know, because, you know, went through therapy and all of that. And I remember the therapist telling me to write a letter to my father. He had already passed away.
Right.
And, you know, and I wrote this letter, and she was like, you know, after you write it, say everything you want to say. And she was like, and burn it afterwards.
Mm.
And it was like, wow, you know, and that letter became a song, actually, you know, that I haven't really released to the world because, you know, it's like super personal. You know what I mean? It's right, like right. One of my more personal things. And although I have an opinion about certain decisions that were made, I don't want to make it seem like I don't love my pops. You know what I mean? Like yeah. That was my, right, right, my dad right. made me who I am today, that's you know, right. him and my stepmother. So, you know what I mean? So I get it. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate you sharing that because yeah, man, we, you know, we all done been through it.
Right. And we all flawed, bro. At the end of the day, man. And we're all flawed. We all walk in contradictions. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's like, who am I to judge this man? And he's coming to me wanting to reconcile, you know what I mean? I didn't have to, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have to, mm-hmm. but the fact that I did, it helped me so much, you know, it helped me so much to see, you know, everything as in its totality, you know, and it helps me, you know, kind of how to relate to my children, you know, because yeah. me and my kids, some of my kids' relationship was strained based off of decisions that I made and things that I've done. So it's like, who am I to not forgive this man? And I'm sitting there turning around because God has a way to turn the tables on your ass.
Come on.
Feel me? Oh, fast. You don't want to forgive him? I'm going to put you in a situation
right
where you got to see how he felt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I did. I, you know, I had a situation where, you know, my oldest son, like, you know, to him, like, I was his hero. Mm. But, you know, based off of a decision that I made and a mistake that I made, you know, he saw that, you know, dad ain't Superman, you know, and it kind of threw him off. It threw him off and it threw our relationship off. So it's like, yo, you know, here I am in the same situation as my father, like trying to reach out to my son, trying to relate to him, trying to mend, you know, that relationship again, you know, make it, bring it back to where it was, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Well, props to you, man. That yeah. sounds like a great dad, you know.
I try. I'm trying, man. You know.
Yeah,
man.
We all tried. Yeah. Not easy. Before we pivot and talk about some fun music, I have one more question about your book that you've written about your life.
right.
They were writing tonight. You mentioned a near-death experience. I'm super curious about that. If you don't mind sharing, and if you sure. don't, that's fine.
October 26th.
Yeah, go ahead.
2018, about 12:45 a.m. Thursday night, I was robbed in front of my house. Wow. Yeah, dude, you know, bare face, $4, you know, and I wind up getting shot in the stomach. A struggle ensued because after he got whatever is the $4 that I had in the wallet and the phone, he told me to put my head down. So I'm thinking that he gonna, you know, hit me in my head. So I grabbed the gun, and in the struggle, I get hit point blank in the stomach.
What's that feel like?
Oh,
do you remember?
Oh, like, hell yeah. I'll never forget it. Actually, I still have the bullet in me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you take it out?
I'm getting that taken care of probably in the next couple of months. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll never forget that, bro. Yeah, it's very painful.
Yeah.
Painful, very scary, you know. Yeah. And the first thing I did was, I went, I just connected straight to God. Like everything else was blanked out. It was just me and him. That's it. You know, and through his mercy, man, like, you know, I was in and out the hospital. The doctors told me I was lucky, no vital organs was hit. Cause I got hit with the gun was on my stomach. 9mm. You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing but God. All praises to the Most High Christ, man.
Wow. Straight up.
Yep. Yeah, so nobody could tell me, you know, nobody could tell me anything about whether or not God exists. You know, I don't fear man. You know what I'm saying? I don't. I fear God. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank God you pulled through, man. Wow. That's that's an amazing story.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Was there some on the other side of that, as you were, you know, getting better healing?
Mm-hmm.
Was there something you took from that experience? Like, was there something that did it alter? I know you spoke about, like, did you have this unwavering faith in God before that? Did that change? Like, what's something that, like, you know, kind of changed as a result of that situation?
So prior to that, 2017 kind of began a real dark period. I went through a breakup, you know, had some issues. I was in a dark place, you know, contemplating all kind of stuff. But, you know, death was on my mind a lot. You know, and that's the thing too. I was reading As a Man Thinketh, James Allen. Just got finished reading that book. Wonderful book, by the way. He talks about the power of thought, how that kind of it maps out your life. You know, and a lot of people don't think about that, like how powerful the brain is and how powerful thought is. When you think about stuff enough, you think about something enough, it will materialize. You know what I'm saying? So that was something that I thought about a lot, and it showed up on my front doorstep. So it went from me, you know, thinking about death, for me, to me fighting for my life, wanting to live. So at that point, I wanted to live. I want to live. I don't want to die. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's what I took from that. Like, yeah, I want to live. You know what I mean? I want to live. I got something to live for. I got my children, you know what I'm saying? I got my loved ones are all my children, but you know, other people outside of my children, you know.
Sure.
I got, you know, my career, music wise, my art. So yeah, it really helped a lot, because I'm telling you, like, with that, maybe that next couple of days, you know, I'm still bleeding from the stomach. I'm in a studio in my basement recording modern music. Wow. The first modern music. I'm in here doing all kind of features and all of that, bleeding from the stomach, pouring like Kool-Aid out my damn stomach, man. You know? Yeah. So like, modern music was definitely made from like literal blood, sweat, and tears. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I put that out in December of 2018. So yeah, you know, I'm soon, like I said, as soon as I get out the hospital, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even some records from some records from the God's Honest Truth, because we started recording that in 2017.
Oh wow, that's, I didn't realize that.
As a matter of fact, one of the first records, well, actually, the first record we did is not even on the album, called Revival. We did that. And then Empower, the joint with Elzai, that was an early joint. Yeah, yep. Yeah, shout out to Crazy Fingers too, man. Crazy Fingers,
yeah.
Yeah, that's my brother right there, man. We had a lot of conversations, man, building that record. Yeah.
Definitely. That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Well, I hate that you got shot. Obviously, it's terrible. Don't wish on anyone. I'm glad that you found meaning. You know, I'm glad that you found something good. You know, to come out of it. That's dope. And I hope that, you know, people listening, you know, can learn. You know, I'm a big advocate for learning from other people, so that you don't have to go through it. So like, if you're out there listening and death is on your mind a lot of negative thoughts, you know, maybe you can figure out a way to turn it around without, you know, going through something, you know, really drastic like that, you know. So, you know, learn from other people. So, yeah. So that's dope, man. And thanks for sharing that too. I do want to shift a little bit, talk about some music. Been a pretty serious show, but you've had, you know, serious things happen in your life, and I think sharing these serious things, you know, helps other people. Things that they're going through, you know. So, and I was with a gentleman today, older gentleman. He was really into music when he was younger, and then he decided to go into kind of a normal job, not a music job, you know, for security and all that. But he was saying how musicians are like professional feelers, like they know how to feel, and they know how to put that feeling into art so that we can, you know, digest it and learn from it and experience. Right. So I think that's dope. And I see you in that way that you're able to put those feelings, you know, in the music, which is dope. So speaking of music and speaking of Baltimore, you're not from Baltimore, from Staten Island. Is that right?
Yeah. Staten Island originally, but you know, Baltimore is definitely my second home. I spent like, you know, most of my life here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was born and raised as a child in Staten Island, going back and forth, you know, throughout my teenage years and all that. So yeah, that's first home. Baltimore.
Right on.
Yeah.
I think you already mentioned a few, but I'm just curious to know, who are some of your favorite Baltimore MCs that are inspiring you right now?
El Conscious, Jay Royale. Oh man, Ace Cannons is a beast. You'll Never Know. I mean, it's a plethora. I mean, if we're going back, you know, K Mac, Silhouette. You know what I mean? My man Don Street. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. Scar Akbar. You know, yeah, shout out to Baltimore, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but you know, these guys, I probably forgot some, but y'all are right here.
Yeah, no doubt. There's so much rich content in Baltimore and the hip hop.
Yeah, it is. Oh, Greenspan, like it's a lot. Yeah, Boy Bless. Yeah, these guys. Baltimore. You know, I came here in the early to mid '90s, man. And you would be surprised at the incredible talent that's here, that's always been here.
Yeah,
a lot of times Baltimore gets overlooked.
It's almost like y'all need like a book, a review of some
sort. Word.
Yo, a lot of laughter here.
A boom bat review, right?
A boom bat review. Jamil Honesty and I've talked about that, doing a Baltimore book. Yeah, so we'll have to keep talking about that. Well, let's get into this album, man. The God's Honest Truth. It's a great album. I wanted to start first with the album cover.
Okay.
So I always think a good album cover is one in this day and age that makes someone who's scrolling through their Instagram or whatever, makes right. them stop and look. I feel like this album makes you stop and look, because it's interesting, because there's definitely a picture.
Right.
You know, but the picture is not taking up it's kind of off-centered. It's not taking up the full square. And you're like, you can't really see what's going on outside of the picture unless you like stop and really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious about that picture, the meaning behind it, who did the artwork, and if you can just, you know, share a little bit about the imagery there.
Shout out to Squam. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Squam. He did the artwork. SKWAAM. I believe, yeah, he did the artwork. Incredible. He did some things for Josiah the Gift. He did the Togo with the cartoon
right.
joint where he's kind of like sitting there with the blunt in his mouth.
Yeah,
he did that. He did that joint. Again, so that the album cover is just showing you, like, I'm sharing. This is I'm sharing, right? Because that's a picture of my oldest son and my oldest daughter.
Okay.
It's a real, I'm gonna send you the real picture. It's a real picture.
Oh, the artist saw the picture and drew it.
Yeah, he saw the picture and drew it. Right. He was being silly. he was wearing his mom's glasses and he made that goofy face. And I always looked at him like, yo, this could be an album cover. He's 16 now. So that should tell you how old that picture is. Cause like he looked like about maybe five or six years old. So that's a picture of my children.
Okay.
So what I say is, and you know, what's always spoken about is like, you know, the children are like the closest thing to God, to the truth, right? When you get children, you know, you get a four-year-old, when they can talk, you know, they're going to tell you how they feel. They're going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the truth.
Right.
They still tell you the truth at 12.
Yeah. right. They go, right. And then, you know, when they start getting older and they figure out, you know, they start thinking, oh, well, if I tell the truth, I might get in trouble. You know, that's when they start the line and all that, right? But before that, when they get to that point where they like 4, 5, 6, don't ask them a question if you don't want the answer, you don't want the truth. They're going to give it to you, right? So you got that. You have, what is it? There's a shield of David, which is the seal of God, you know what I mean? So everything within that picture is basically surrounded around God and the truth.
Yeah, I'm gonna share it here for people to see that are listening. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So and then you know.
Yeah, that's fresh.
And
yeah.
then black and white. You know, the truth is black and white.
That's dope.
So the guy holding the necklace.
Yeah, that's God.
God is holding the necklace.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
And then the necklace, like the shield of David, that's the seal of God.
Mm.
You know, that the Bible speaks of, yeah. So God's honest truth.
Yeah, that's a great cover. Like I said, it makes me stop and look, like, what's going on here, you know? And what I like about it is, like, it draws you, like, the picture draws you in. First of all,
right.
It sticks out, it draws you in, and then there's these other things that you kind of go to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, great job there. Cron, so you said his name was?
Squam.
Squam,
you
Squam.
Know what?
Okay.
Yeah.
Great job, Squam. That was dope.
I'm gonna send you. It's amazing.
Yeah, send me his information. I want to give him a shout out. And
yeah.
A side note about kids, you know, speaking the truth. I worked with this kid. I don't remember the kid's name, but I worked with this because I work with kids. And there was this one kid. He was young, like 5, 6, maybe even younger. And he would always ask tons of questions.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? I wonder what would happen if the next time I see this kid, I don't let him start talking. I just play his playbook and I start asking him tons of questions. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I just like a, you know, experiment, see what happens. Right. It was a hilarious thing. Got that dude quiet. I was just asking him question after question after question after question. Before long, he kind of stopped and got quiet. I was like, this is how you get this kid to be quiet.
Right.
You just ask tons of, flip the script on him, ask him tons of questions.
Anyway, right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Got the album cover, God's Honest Truth. This album. I'm always curious about the creation of an album like this. Mm-hmm. Was the album there? Like, did you know, like, okay, this is the album. I have an album that's, or was it just over time? I know you said it started in like 2017. So over time, it just like came together.
It started piecing together. Like, we had to, like, okay. In the beginning, we had an idea of a project that we wanted to do. Him, myself and Crazy Fingers, right? Mm-hmm. And we knew that we wanted to do something where we were kind of talking about some life things, but not, it didn't start piecing together until we walked away and lived life and I get shot and my father's dead. And, you know what I mean? And he's going through certain things. And then we sit down and like, yo, you know, we start talking. He starts, he's, you know, sending me music. I'm sending it back. And we like, yo, we're going to call this joint the God's Honest Truth. You know, but that was, I'm going to tell you, that was like talking about maybe 2020, maybe. And we started doing the record at 2017. I don't think we came up with the name, the title of the album until like maybe 2020, something like that. It might have been 2021. But this was something, it was a series of events that put this album together. It wasn't just we did it in a few months. It took from 2017 to, I think, we might have did some of the last records in 2022.
Okay.
Yeah. So it took us a minute to finish this out. Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, great work takes time.
It takes time, man. It takes time. That's why I would say, you know, this album is not for everybody. And I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Because the thing is, you actually have to sit down and you got to listen to it.
Yeah.
You can't just, there are certain albums where you put it on, as soon as you put it on, it's like, oh, what? It's not one of those things for everybody. Sure. You got to sit down and,
Yeah.
Okay. That's what this joint is about. Okay, Empower. Oh, joint. This is a joint about two conversations he had in the barbershop. Like, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of them things.
Yeah. The song Wake Up, Spread Love. I really like, I like all the songs. That song in particular. After you write a song like that, record a song like that, I just feel like it's a powerful song. Do people come to mind where you're like, oh, I really want this person to hear this song. I want to hear this message.
Yeah, my people. The people, period. You know, but specifically, what happened was how that song came together. I got pulled over by the cops. I was coming home from work. So the cops, and this is like right after, not too far after I got shot, right? So he pulls me over talking about, oh, you almost ran a light. Okay, so here it is. You pulling me over because I almost ran a light, but the dude that shot me is still scot-free shooting somebody else probably. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
You know, but this is around the time like Sandra Bland, this situation with Sandra Bland just happened. So I'm like, kind of like, damn, am I going to get killed? You know, because that's going through your mind. Like,
yeah.
You get pulled over as a black man that was like, yo, black and brown man, you know, you might not make it home.
Right.
I'm like, yo, I'm not. So I got like, I kind of broke down a little bit.
You
know? And that's how that song was born, you know. And I'm talking about it. Like, if you listen to the song, I'm talking about me actually getting pulled over, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I you know, it was, dang, this album is just like me just kind of cutting my arm and just bleeding.
Mm.
I mean, just bleeding, like just I'm just telling my story, but you know, people will relate because I'm giving them the real. Yeah. This is what I went through.
Right.
So it's not nothing make believe. I'm not talking about no fictitious character, none of that. This is an actual thing that I went through that a lot of my brothers and sisters go through every freaking day. Yeah. This ain't the first time I had, you know, gotten pulled over with guns in my face and all kinds of stuff. It's not the first time. It's something that we deal with on the regular. We're almost desensitized to it.
Yeah.
To a point. You know what I mean? But yeah, that for me was, it was kind of real. Cause like I said, you know, this is, you know, when that, like that Sandra Bland situation was fresh, So it was like, oh man, like, am I gonna make it home? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you know, sometimes in life, we get caught up in abusive relationships or you know, a painful situation, and rather than, you know, leave it for something unknown, we stick to it because it's known, right. It's comfortable in a way, even though it's painful, it's weird. Right. Right. Humans were weird people. Did that kind of thought or idea come into play with your song Running Out of Problems? Because that that song, like, I love that song, and there's just there's a part of it, it's like, okay, on one hand you can interpret it like I'm running out of problems, good, this is a good thing, because I don't, you know, running, getting rid of problems is good, but right. then on the other hand it's like it almost feels like it's that idea of like being addicted to pain, like I'm running out of problems, what where's the next problem that, you know, I can cling to, you know?
All right, so I'm gonna put it to you plain. Sometimes when we going through stuff, it almost seems like it's the end of the world, right? It's
right.
Like, I can't take it, right? So it's like, that's what I'm saying. I'm running out of problems. Like, I'm up to here. I gotta look up. When I say look up, I mean, and I gotta pray.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I could take some of that burden off of me, because you know when you do that, you know, you give it to God. It's like, you know, it gets to a point where you gotta just let it go. Can't worry about things that you can't control, right?
So yeah.
Him, and just be like, yo, I'm running out of problems. I gotta look up. Like, I can't handle this on my own, man. So I'm gonna give it to God. So
yeah. That's dope.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Bro, any thoughts, questions around the album?
Man, the guy's honest truth. I did, I had wrote something down. Brother Jamil, I wanted to know, like, what was, and I know you put this together, you know, you collectively put this together over time, but what was the main inspiration, like, behind wanting it to be labeled like God's honest truth? Like, was it one thing in particular? Is it a collective of things? Is that how you see it? You know what I'm saying? How you see it now? But what's the main inspiration of that title?
The main inspiration from it was me embracing accountability. You know, and so, you know, people go through life and, you know, they try to blame everybody else for their issues and their problems,
yeah,
and circumstances. But when you look at it, you know, with a magnifying glass, you'll see that it's all on you as the individual. You create your life. You create your life, man. You create the circumstances. So that was the main thing. Me, you know, just embracing accountability, knowing that, okay, you know what, these are the things that I've done. Yes, I did them, but I'm not going to condemn myself because I did these things, right? Even the things that I've been through, like, you know, these are the things that I've been through, but they're not me. You know, just because I went through something negative or whatever, I don't necessarily, that doesn't mean that I have to turn out to be that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The whole gist of it, though, is that God is in control of everything.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He's putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
He's the master teacher. You know what I mean? He gives you these lessons. You learn them, or not, they're there, you know. And sometimes you got to repeat them over and over and over again till you get it. You know? So it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm saying a lot because it is a lot. It doesn't just yeah. mean one thing. You know, even with the cover, I'm telling you one thing, but there's so many different meanings to that cover too.
Right.
Like you can grasp different things from the song. You know. I hope that answers the question, brother.
Yeah, it does.
That's dope. You know, something you said reminded me of Bryan Stevenson quote. Bryan Stevenson, you know, civil rights lawyer, incredible. Created the Legacy Museum in Montgomery. Anyway, just an incredible person. And he talks about how people are better than their, you know, worst, you know, atrocity or whatever. Because he defends people on death row. And you know, even though someone has made a mistake, has done something horrible, they're better than that mistake, you know? And yeah, I think that's really dope. So God's Honest Truth, if you have not heard it, you need to go hear it. It is just about anywhere you can find music. It's also on the Bandcamp. And do you have merch for this album still, or is it sold out?
No, I still got CDs and tapes. So hit me up. Go on.
Yeah, I still need to get one of those CDs myself. I feel a little ashamed. I'm the CD guy and I don't even have one. I feel bad.
Nah, man, you got me in your book, man. I'm we'll talk.
Yeah. And you have your own label, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Real quick.
Go ahead.
We're actually getting vinyl in the next couple of months.
Oh, dope.
From Speed Records.
Okay.
Speed Records, yeah, they're pressing it up. Small run, but it will be available. So make sure you tap in with that. And I'll make sure that I make the announcements or whatever. But yeah, so Speed Records will be pressing up the God's Honest Truth. I almost forgot that. Yeah, word up, word, yeah.
Yeah, so the vinyl's on its way. CDs and tapes are available now. And your label, Black House Records,
right,
has other albums, right, for sale?
Yep. We got Stax 410, Lali Gata. That's an artist under the label. Dope album. I produced the whole record.
Oh.
Yeah, got I'm featured on there. Ill Conscious is featured on there.
Nice.
Rockness Monster from Helter Skelter is featured on there.
Oh,
yeah. So make sure y'all tap in. That's everywhere as well.
Okay.
Camp, all the streaming outlets, and I think we're getting vinyl pressed up for that soon as well. Of course, you got the first record that was put that we released is the Rufus Buck Project.
Dope joint.
Still have CDs and vinyl available and t-shirts available for that record as well. That's a bit everywhere. We got Bolo Young. Bolo Young was that was produced by myself, the MC Sean Links, incredible MC. We did that record in 2022. So yeah. Got Harbor Kids.
Yeah, I need to get that one too. That's the joint. Bro, that was the one we were just listening to that joint before you hopped on.
It's in my ear right now.
Shout out to Squeegee, man. We got a story. We got an ill story too. Yeah, Squeegee. Me and Squeegee, I knew Squeegee when he was a baby.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We grew up in the same project building. Man,
it's dope.
Yeah. So, yeah. We kind of lost, you know, communication or whatever you call it, connection or whatever through the years. And then we came kind of reconnected through Facebook. I saw that he was rhyming. I'm like, yo, you Dean, yeah. You know, and ever since then, it's been a rap. We've been rocking with each other, you know, featuring on each other's albums. And then we decided, yo, look, we need to do a joint.
Yes.
But we did that. We actually working on another one. So.
Oh, yo, my man Anthony from Hip Hop Lifers actually wanted me to ask you that, if you got another Harbor Kids in the mix. What about, he also wanted to know about the Bolo Yang, if there's another project coming for that.
We talked about it. We talked about it. I, it's not off the table.
You know? Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
And what about the
classic material?
Okay, the Martyr Music. Is there another Martyr Music coming?
Yeah, Martyr Music 3 is coming in fall. I got some really special guests on it.
Oh, can you speak on it yet? Not yet.
Well, no, nah, I mean, you know, I got some new members on it. I'll say that.
Okay, Wu Tang.
Ooh,
nice.
Yeah, he from Shaolin. So you know, yeah.
And I have to ask you about your most, what I think is your most recent album, Give Us Our Daily Bread, which is it Macaca? Is that how you say that?
Machacha.
Machacha. Okay. I knew I probably butchered it. That's a dope album right there.
Thank you, man.
Yes.
I got the sweatshirt, man. Make sure y'all come get that, man.
Yes. It's a great album cover too. Speaking of album covers.
Yeah. Shout out to Hip Hop Junkie. Hip Hop Junkie did that. One of the illest artists on the planet. You send her something and she'll flip that joint.
Dope.
I sent her a picture of my hands. That might even be my hands. I don't even know. But she killed that. Yeah, Hip Hop Junkie is one of the illest.
Yeah. That's dope. And you have more for sale? Sweatshirts?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay.
Yep. Limited sizes and, you know, whatever. So y'all make sure y'all, you know, tap in. But yeah, I got some.
Where can people find this merch?
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. Okay. Yeah. So search that.
That cover's fresh.
Google. Yes. Jamil Honesty. Go to Bandcamp. Find it. Support this man. He's got dope material, dope merch, the whole nine. Anything else you want to get out there to the world before we celebrate some classic hip hop albums?
I think we touched on everything. Black House Records, man. Most of my, if not all, my whole catalog is on Bandcamp. You know what I'm saying? So make sure y'all tap in. All my merch is there. Jamil Honesty at bandcamp.com. If y'all, y'all need some verses, y'all need production, you know what I'm saying? Holler at me. I'm on IG, Jamil Honesty, Jamil, JAMIL _ Honesty on IG, man. Hit me up. Serious inquiries only. You know what I mean? Don't waste my time. I won't waste yours.
Right. Yes.
It's free, but you know, we could work it out. I'll work out with your budget, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? We could work it out. But yeah, you know, beats, rhymes, I'm here.
Not at all. Cool. Right on, right on. So the last thing we like to do before our shout outs is just celebrate some hip hop albums with a little something we like to call one word. So I'm gonna play this little intro, and in the intro, it's gonna ask you a question, see if you would like to accept the challenge of the one word game. And we'll see. We'll see if we can get Jamil Honesty on the show doing one word. So here it goes.
Oh, I gotta say a word. I gotta say a word.
What? Oh, not yet. Not yet. Not
oh,
yet.
Okay.
Not yet, man. We always laugh at this part, man. We always laugh at this part, man.
So the challenge is I'm gonna name some albums. I'm gonna show you some album covers. And the challenge is for you to respond to it using one word or less.
Okay. One word or less with that pertains to the album, you mean?
I'm gonna show you the album.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. We got a few albums here. All right. First one. Man, I'm so glad we're giving this album some shine. I love this album. This is Gas Mask by The Left. One word.
Jesus. classic, man.
Classic, yeah.
Classic, classic. Apollo Brown, Journalist 103. That's my guy. I talk to him every now and then when I come out to Detroit, man. So that album right there is how you got Martyr Music in the series.
Mm, really? How so?
Well, it was a combination of a few things. I mean, of course, you know, I'm a Staten Island dude, so I'm heavily influenced by Wu-Tang, but there was a period, a time where I was really gravitating to the Detroit sound, or how gritty and grimy it was. It reminded me a lot of New York in the 90s. You know, one of this record right here was one of them joints. Like, yo, who is this dude? Who are these? What is the, you know what I mean? Like, you at that time, you wasn't hearing production like that. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, with the banging drums, the gritty, grimy samples, and how he was chopping all of that. So it was kind of like on some real stuff. Like, you know, I told Hob, like, yo, I need something like that. You got to be grimy. So there, yeah. And I think one of the songs on Modern Music, we really captured that feel. It's called Scribes. It's one of Substance 810's favorite for me, and Mickey Diamond's. Mickey Diamond's always telling me, it's me. So it features it's me and Jay Royale. But that album right there is the reason.
That's dope. Yeah. All right. Next album is by a legendary MC, one of the greatest lyricists to ever walk the earth. But we don't talk about this album very much in his catalog, so I'm glad we're talking about it today. This is Doc's the Name by Redman.
Doc's the Name.
One word.
Oh, man. Raw. This raw. 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 See what people don't, we don't talk about Redman enough, man. But true. People don't realize is this album right here was just kind of like, it was proof that, like, you know, Redman can't miss, right? Because before that album was Muddy Waters, right?
Right, yep.
Muddy Waters, and in between that, you had the Blackout. Prior to that, you had There's a Dark Side, and you had the first album. So right. He just giving you all kind of, you know, joints, right? So then he hits us with this joint. I think it's a straight through. In my opinion, it's a straight through. I'm not saying it's better than Muddy Waters at all, but yeah, that album don't get enough props, man.
Roll. I agree. It's a good album. Speaking of good albums, you know, we have to do at least one from Staten Island. This is Supreme Clientele.
Ooh.
By Ghostface Killah.
Phoenix. Phoenix.
Don't worry.
And I'm going to tell you why. That album made... Okay. That album gave Wu-Tang breath again. Yeah.
Gave hip-hop breath, man.
At that point, Ghostface put the whole Wu on his back. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Was like, yeah, nigga, we ain't finished.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Straight
through, classic. Yeah. And to this day, that album, and only built for Cuban Links, those two albums are being made over and over and over in the underground.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. The Phoenix, man.
Yeah, that's dope. All right, next album is, I like this album a lot. This is Anarchy by Busta Rhymes. It's got one of my favorite Busta Rhymes joints on here.
Son, listen, let me tell you something, man. I don't even know. I had this conversation with somebody. It was like, oh, you're Busta Rhymes, no classic album. To me, that album right there, bro, undeniable. The production, the lyrics, the cadence, the features, Rock Moss with Ray and Ghost. Like, come on.
Heist. Heck yeah.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Jay Dilla on there. On there. Like, Just Blaze is on there. Like, the production. See, for me, I think I feel like the production is just as important, if not more important than what you're saying. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like the candy, right? It's the candy. You know, medicine tastes better when it's sweet. When it's
right.
sweet,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Medicine tastes better when it's sweet. So, like, people don't. I think that some artists got too caught up in lyrics, 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 and then forgot about the production.
Right.
It's got to be neck and neck, man. So
yeah,
that album is anarchy.
Yeah, it's a great album. And Knots, the producer Knots, man, I love his beats.
DJ Scratch too.
Yeah, yeah. DJ Scratch is on there.
Get Kill out. That joint, Get Out.
Yeah. Ooh. Hey, Till, who did Get Out?
Knots.
Knots.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, man. Get out.
Get out of here. Yeah.
And the joint with DMX and Jay-Z?
Yes.
That's a dope joint too.
And that is.
Great album.
That's a Why We Die. Yeah.
Yes.
And oh, Dilla was killing on there too now.
Yeah, Dilla on there. Busta always gets a good Dilla beat. All right, last one of the evening. Man, I love this album so much. So I'm glad we're celebrating it. This is The Preface by Elzai. Who, by the way, Elzai is featured on the God's Honest Truth last song. So
let me tell you, man. Yeah, that album is it's like the blueprint. The blueprint, man, for lyricism. You know what I mean? Like, L is a phenom, man, when it comes to this whole MC thing. Like, I remember hearing him, I want to say the early 2000s, he was they had came to Baltimore, I believe, and they were on the radio, I think either freestyling or something. I'm like, wait a minute, because I knew about Slum Village, right? But I didn't, this is when they made the transition. So I didn't know about Dilla kind of stepping back, and then they brought in L. Now I'm like, okay, this is Slum Village, but who is this dude, right?
Yeah.
Chelsea Deck and just like patterns and all. I'm like, hold up, who is this dude, right?
Yeah, man.
And I did not get a hold of, it was either Out of Focus, one of them joints, man. Like, back then, you had different ways to leak music and all right. that kind of stuff, man. So I got one of his mixtapes, like, early. It had, like, this joint called Checkmate on there, Love It Here. Yeah, this dude. So when he put out, that he was putting out an album, I'm like, yo, ran and got that joint. Ran it, went to the spot called Soundgarden, went and copped the album, man. And so it was really an honor to get him on the project. Very cool individual, and he even reposted it, man. So that hell, man. Yeah, I was a super cool dude, man. Word up.
Yeah, I'm really happy and thankful he's making more music these days. I know he had a few years where it looked like he I don't think he put much out, and then last several years, man, he's been putting out just great. I mean, he always puts out great stuff, and now that he's putting out more great stuff, man.
Yeah, that last album is crazy too. With Oh No.
Yes, yeah. I love heavy that
vibrato.
Yes,
heavy vibrato. Yeah,
I like every album he's put out. I really, really like.
Yeah, yeah. He's crazy. It's like the lyricism. His storytelling ability.
I love how he and you do this too. I love the one producer, one MC
right.
Combination. And with the exception of like I think one of his albums. They've all been one producer, you know, one
Yeah,
of his,
yeah.
which I really love. So
Yeah.
you succeeded, you passed the test of one word. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I'm
So hey, yo, pro, you know what we need to do? We need to put like a you know, like the Midnight Marauders cover with all the faces. We need to create like a one word alumni of all the guests.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Done one word.
Why did not put that? I didn't. I'm trying to figure out why I didn't put Low End Theory on that list, because Low End Theory is the reason why I rap.
It's because the scenario, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that in another interview. I actually had where that joint. Yeah, I actually had that joint ready to go. So there you go. Dope album. You know what? Another album I have ready for you, because I know you mentioned this in another interview, is it's a Big Daddy Thing. About Big Daddy Kane,
man, stop.
Dope MC right there.
Hell yeah,
the legend.
Operator and Scenario are the two songs I rap.
Hey, those are great songs, man. I remember
made me start rapping.
I remember Smooth Operator as a kid. I remember Scenario, you know, Scenario as a kid. Yeah, man, those are influential songs for so many people. You know,
yeah.
Well, listen, before we get out of here, it's a hip hop show, so we like to always end with some shout outs. So Pro and I will do some shout outs, and then we'll turn it over to you, Jamil, for the final shout outs. Pro, who you want to shout out tonight?
Man, I'm shouting out the Profound Six and that young Fernley Vaqueros 13U football team that we trying to run through this season. And shouting out, you know, the crew, Till, of course, Io, Joe, Stowe, Bo, and my man Jamil, brother, Honesty. Man, great to meet you, brother. I definitely, you know, gonna keep checking you out. Was very impressed with what I heard, brother. Very impressed. And keep on doing it, man. Keep going, please, bro. We the last of the Mohicans, brother. You know? And that's it for me, too.
Thanks, Pro. I want to shout out, of course, the crew and Iomas Marad. I know he's not listening right now, but he'll be listening later. I hope the class went well that he's going to be teaching tomorrow. And, man, I want to keep it simple. I just want to shout out Baltimore Hip Hop. Baltimore has been putting some really dope stuff out lately. Jay Royale. And I don't know what happened to Jay Royale's last drop. Like, he dropped it and then it like disappeared. Like, the picture's on Facebook, but the music's not there. So I was like, dang, man, he just put it out there for a moment. You know. So anyway, shout out to Jay Royale. He's super dope. Ill Conscious, of course, is super dope. Just everyone in Baltimore putting out really dope music. Appreciate it. And yeah, to you, Jamil, Honesty, thank you, you know, for sharing your, you know, yourself with us through music and putting out, you know, excellent music and being a master of your craft. And thank you for being here tonight, sharing, you know, more of yourself with us tonight. So appreciate you. Thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to you for the final shout out of the night.
Yeah, first and foremost, man, thank y'all. I want to shout y'all out, you know what I'm saying, for inviting me on the platform, man. This is an honor. This is an honor, 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 honor. Seriously, man. You know, this having the you know, my project in your book, man, you know, like having your stuff in a book, that's big. It's huge, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, definitely want to shout y'all out. Coach Kandaka, you know, she was a really, really big help and assisted in me promoting the God's Honest Truth. Definitely shout out to her. If y'all don't know who she is, man, follow on her IG, Coach Kandaka. Dope individual, dope sister. She has a lot to offer artists, MCs, anybody that's in the music business, man. So hit her up. Let me see, Black House, my Black House lady, you know what I'm saying? You got myself, you got 88 Bless, who's a dope producer. He's coming out with his album soon. So that'll be dropping soon. He have a compilation album, got Stacks 410 again, Lala Goddess out everywhere, you know what I'm saying? You know, got Coach the God, shout out to him, salute to him. I'm an Animal Pack fam. R.I.P. to Seneca the Misfit, you know what I'm saying? We lost him years ago. Dope MC, incredible MC. Ill Conscious, Jay Royale, Dirk the Tune, You know what I'm saying? Ace Cannons. Man, I probably Substance 810. That's my brother. We talk like every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I'm probably forgetting some people, man. But yeah, you know, my children. You know what I'm saying? Word, like, yo, you know, love to everybody, man. If I forgot you, I forgot you. You know, you're not forgotten in my heart, man. But yeah, Jamel Honesty, man, we in here. Thank you. Thank you for, you know, sharing your platform, man. Word.
No doubt. Thank you. And on that note, as always,
I'm sorry, real quick.
Yeah.
J.R. Swift's, man. J.R. Swift's. My bad. Memoirs, man. We got an album coming, man. My bad.
Oh, word. J.R. Swift's. Yeah, we got an album coming. Honesty.
Yeah, J.R. Swift's. Yeah, we got an album coming, man.
Yo, wee.
When's that coming?
That's coming real soon, man. We working on the album now. We got it with like 5-6 songs in. So that's
okay.
DJ Grasshopper, my brother from a mother.
He's dope.
Yeah. Fix. Yeah, man. All right. So yeah, I'm done.
Okay. All right. All good, man. All good. Thank you, man. And on that note, as always, we say
peace.